Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Life in Construction. Today with me, I have Angela Echoes. Hello, Angela.
Hello, John. Thanks for having me again.
And Mr. Randy Sigmund. Hello, Randy.
Hello, Randy. So this is new for you, so tell us your title.
I'm the Senior Field Service Technician for Watson, Bowman, Acme.
Well, welcome.
Right on.
To be a part of our podcast.
Yeah.
Very
cool. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Special guest, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Smith. Chris, tell us a little about your title and what you do for us, and then we're going to get into our little bit of our topic right after that.
Sure. First of all, honored to be here, John. Thank you for having
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. So, this is interesting.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be interesting. Now,
another fun topic that I like to talk about.
So I am the regional sales manager for Watson Bowman, covering bridge, highway, and tunnel on the West Coast. And by West Coast, I'm talking, if you're looking at a map of the United States, you're going from Montana south to New Mexico and everything west of that, including Alaska and Hawaii. So that's my territory.
You're not related to Chanel West Coast, are you?
Not that I know of. But I do the DNA testing, we'll find the connection, John.
Well, it depends. Right. You could be the father.
Yeah.
I'm so careful on that.
If they're rich, I'll take the connection. So
she's on Ridiculousness.
Yeah. Okay. And she's a rapper. Yeah.
So I'm culturally not in the loop. So
no, you. Still
these are all going right by me. So
okay.
Well, it could be a possibility.
All right.
So the reason we have you, Chris, we're excited. John, let's talk about what the topic of this podcast is.
Let's get to the subject matter and let's talk about training DOTs, Departments of Transportation. This is becoming a big deal across the United States. There's a lot of reasons why we train the DOTs. But, Chris, I want to get some of your feedback on this. Why is it important to train the DOTs?
So when you're designing a structure, right? So you're designing it with a specific joint in mind, but you're designing it, that joint has to perform per specifications. The only way that joint is going to perform per specifications is if it's installed properly. So one thing I've noticed, since breaking out of COVID, being on a lot of job sites where overseeing the installation of our joints, I'm seeing mostly correct procedures, but there's variations in a lot of areas. And having to course correct on site sometimes is easy. Sometimes it creates delays in the project, having to go back and repeat steps or so on and so forth. So it's what we want to do is we want to try to start training at the source, those people that are going to be on the job site all the time. If we can't be on the job site, the DOT there will be a DOT representative on the job site each and every time. So it's important for us to train them to make sure that they can then ensure that the joint is installed correctly.
All great points, Chris. Excited to talk to you about it. And here's why. You talked about your territory. You're the West Coast part of the country. California, we got seismic movements, so joint openings could be as wide as 14 inches plus. Then you have New Mexico, might not have that weather change, so there's a certain way of doing it. So let's kind of talk about, in certain areas, it's not one cookie cutter joint that goes in New Mexico, in California, Montana. So and why that's important.
Yeah, well, regardless of the size of the joint, right? So even if you have a small joint opening, if it's not done correctly, you're putting the structure at risk, right? So you get water in there, you get some other types of damage. And again, regardless of the size of the structure, then you're then creating a deeper, damage or a structure. You're going to have to go back and repair that structure. And then the price tag of that is much larger than the proper cost of installation of a joint.
Right. And that affects the owner, which in most cases is the taxpayers, right?
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. And, just other areas, right? Huge other areas. The DOTs are truly finding a value to work with material suppliers and contractors for numerous reasons.
Sure.
Not even including joint work. It could just be anything in general, right? I think some of the reasons they want this new training is because there's a huge turnover in people retiring, people leaving, the next generation of youth coming in, new engineers are coming in, new estimators are coming in, new field people are coming in, new people who are working in the R&D labs. They are very used to the old school technologies, and they want to learn about the new technologies that material suppliers can bring them, save them money, time, revenue, and educate their staff so they're knowledgeable when they're working out in the field and have a better concept of why the contractor is doing this, why the manufacturer recommends that, mm-hmm. instead of just looking at a book and going, okay, page 8 says we must follow this rule and regulation.
Right.
You agree with that? Do you see that a lot?
Well, you're on job site, so you can speak to this.
Sure. Well, back to John's point on the documentation. The documentation only gives you so much. It never replaces a conversation, right? So every application that we face is a little bit different.
Sure.
That's why you can't have one. There's no one joint that fits all, right? So there's specific joints for specific applications, sizing requirements. You can go down the list of the variables with them. And every project is different in its own special way. So you can't just rely on that documentation to answer all your questions. There needs to be a dialogue. And part of the reason we like to have an exchange with the DOTs and do some of this in-depth training is because it goes beyond just the joint. It goes the entire support system that also the joint relies on for performance. And John, you covered a bunch of those recently at a training.
Absolutely. And we have Randy here. He's field service for Watson Bowman. Randy, let's talk about a little bit. You're on these job sites.
Yeah, Randy. I mean, how many times have you been out on a job site? You meet with the contractor and there's a little issue going on between the field guy from the contractor, then also there's the field guy from the
inspector.
The inspector from the DOT. There's a little butting of heads taking place right there. You know, you kind of got to walk into that hornet's nest and you got to reconcile the situation. And the inspector says, well, the data sheet says this, Randy. And the contractor says, yeah, I agree, but that's not going to work, and here's why. So how do you usually deal with that and reason between these two people? Because a lot of it might say, well, listen, I'm the manufacturer. Here's what I've seen. Here's my experience. Can you give me a story about when that happened to you and just how you reconciled that whole situation?
Cut. That everybody is satisfied on the site.
Because you can't always play by the rule book, right? Sometimes you got to make modifications on the fly. And like you said, common sense has got to come into play. Chris, I'm sure you've seen that before.
As a sales guy, you got to play nice with everybody, right?
And something always comes up, right? There's always some condition that wasn't foreseen ahead of time, but you know, you have enough people on the job site with years and years of experience, and you kind of put your heads together and you come up with a workable solution.
Again, going back to our early topic, that's why it's important to train the DOT people, right?
Cut.
Right? Going back to what we were talking about earlier, guys, right? That's why it's important to train the DOT people, and that's why there's a value there to their field people, to their internal people, to their R&D people. They have to be educated. They have to be realistic. They have to be open-minded. I mean, everything's just not black and white just because it's in a book or on a handbook or on a piece of paper or on a data sheet or on a drawing.
Yep.
And there's a lot of general knowledge with the contractor from years and years of experience, like Randy said, right? And sometimes you got to get the team together. You got to take a look at the issue, make a judgment call, and what's the best way to handle that situation. And it might be something simple. It may have to go up the ladder a little bit sometimes, right?
Well, and everybody can't be at every install, right? So the more people you spread that knowledge to, then there's a greater opportunity for them to have that knowledge at the job site, even if all parties can't be there.
Great point. We've talked about this in other podcasts that we've had.
We have.
Continued education and how important it is. whether it's on a bridge, on a building, in life, right? We're about working smarter, not harder, just in general in our everyday life.
It goes back full circle, Angela, right? I mean, it just shows you how important to educate everybody, right? Including ourselves, and continue educating ourselves and working with other people and learning new things. Listen, Randy and I have been on job sites for, put together 50 years, right? And so we've got a lot of field knowledge and experience, but Randy, I mean, learning something every day on the job site with contractors, agree?
Every day you learn something new, and it's just, it may seem simple at first, or something that they are showing you may sound like it's just common sense to them, but you know it, and you realize after they do it and show you something that it makes a whole lot more sense than maybe the way they explained it to you or explained it to the other people on the site.
Yeah. Right. Well, something that you take back, and then it might be in your next, training or technical service that you provide for them.
And that's one of the things I liked about this week is watching you, Randy, and you, John.
Well, thank you.
Perform the training. I get to just sit back and observe. I'm not on the spot having to come up with the answers and being the main guy on site. So I get to sit back, watch you guys pick up information that, oh, that's right. And little bits and pieces that either I had forgotten or maybe I just didn't previously know and didn't know to focus on. So, it was huge. Thank you.
Aha moment.
No, agreed. So, I mean, to pull it back together, we had an opportunity to spend time together the last couple of days and train some, higher ups and different, parts of the install that we're dealing with, which is we had, different levels of to the person that's out on the bridge at midnight with breaking down traffic. So it's been a good learning process for everybody.
You bring up another good point, which is if the install is during the day, it's easy to call one of us for input. But a lot of these installs, they close the structure at 10 o'clock. They start moving traffic. They don't even start installing until midnight. And then it has to be open by 5. And there's a lot of information that has to exchange in that point in order to make proper decisions. I'm not answering my phone at 2 a.m. I'm sorry. Or rarely. It's got to be a special occasion or if I know it's going to happen ahead of time. But a lot of these jobs that are scheduled for one night have to be pushed because of materials, weather, you name it. So the flexible project schedules, and we can't be there all the time. So it's best to have that knowledge spread among many people.
Absolutely. You think about a person driving down the road. Let's say you're driving overnight or late at night, and you see the flashing lights and the guys in the yellow vests. They could be literally saving that structure in the matter of time that they've closed it down, opening it up the next day so we can all, the members of the community be safe when we drive over these structures, going back to how important it is to maintain this long term.
Yeah. And I think we've covered it before. If we haven't, quick PSA, please slow down at construction sites. Oh. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the field where people are driving by at 70 miles an hour within inches of you. It is not a fun experience.
Terrifying. So
please slow down.
Terrifying.
Help those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. That's why I like working in New England. Mandatory that a police officer is on every job site.
Yep.
Mandatory.
Yep.
I think that should be a regulation on every job site, especially working nights.
And a lot of contractors park their vehicles.
Yeah.
So they block the working area so that even if something were to occur, there's a vehicle blocking the way, but a lot of times that's not available.
No, agreed. And Chris, you made a valid point. Just everybody, when you see a yellow vest day or night, just slow down for a second. It's a human being there working.
Wow, we had an incident 2 weeks ago on a job site where a drunk driver came through the zone and destroyed one of our joints.
Yeah.
And
thank goodness it was just the joint.
Luckily, that steel joint stopped the car.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, somebody could have been really hurt or killed.
And there was, right.
It happens all the time.
It's unfortunate. Fatalities are much more common.
Yeah.
Than I even want to think about. It's just, it's terrible.
I think too
frequently.
And I think...
Not to take us off topic, sorry.
No,
it's a part. It's a part.
It's part of the job.
Going back to, we just said, this is a part of them installing the joint to save the structure.
Chris, Angel, we all know that safety is a part of a life in construction.
Sure.
Number one.
Contractors, there's a lot of risk just working in general with all heavy equipment and overhead wires. So you always got to be aware of that in every case. But I want to get back a little bit to talking about why it's important to the DOTs and the value proposition that I took away this week from talking to the certain individuals. And you know, we must have talked to 45, 50 different individuals at this latest training. The great takeaway I took is they said, we want to do more. Mm-hmm. We want all our people to come to these type of things because they're so good. They're so educational. They bring so much value to all of us at the DOT level. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And, you know, we're going to set that up. We're going to make that happen. We're going to this is going to be a roadshow of DOT trainings and making sure that it's not to push our product. It's to educate ourselves, our customers, their customers, and get together, communicate, learn, right? I mean, there's a lot that we can learn and take away from all this. You know, there's different geographic regions. Everyone requires a different circumstance, right?
I was just going to say, right? Not that we, because we're not the experts. It's based on what we've went into their market and what would we can offer to them. So, and I know, Chris, with your territory, you get to experience that in all kinds of different levels.
Sure. And we are in the experts in a narrow band, right? But one thing we learned this week is that, different geographic regions are using different solutions in different conditions. And so I think even the exchange that was had between the members of the DOT, they're all learning from each other as well. So you were getting that diverse group. You know, some are in some climates, some are in other climates, organization.
Let's talk about a little bit why those different applications, weather, snow, right?
Yep, and how they deal with those conditions.
And then how they clean that snow up. Yep. So a snow plow could be a part of what you're looking at on a bridge versus if we're talking, we're on the West Coast, so Northern California versus Southern California. It's, you know, sunny and 70 in the South might not be that way in the North, right? Yep.
Could be snowing and they could be dealing with snow removal, like you said, the salt. And again, different structures face different conditions all the time, and the solutions that we have or the way that these structures are constructed have to take into account those conditions, and they could be varying or different throughout the year.
Yeah. I mean, where we are now, it's like it could be skiing and you could be swimming within a radius of 50 miles.
In the same state, right?
Yeah, so,
right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So it requires different things for different elements, right?
Yep.
And that was a big topic yesterday. It's like, okay, this district works here down in the valley, but this district works up in the mountains, completely different challenges, right?
Yep.
And I was like, wow, yeah, I didn't even think about that. In a small radius, one district is dealing with summer, and one district is dealing with snow and ice and roads. And so it was quite interesting.
And the one had to use a multifaceted approach to a solution, whereas others can just do a one-time only, and it's all taken care of.
Right.
So, again, they have to adapt to their conditions in order to meet their requirements.
Certainly a very unique area. You know, not all DOTs have to deal with that, but I found that very unique. And again, the feedback that we got and how they want to continue their education. And, you know, the one engineer came up to me and he said, I would have brought 200 people to this training today if I could have. But obviously due to COVID issues, we didn't want to do that.
We limited it, right?
Yeah, yep. Right. Which is the smart thing to do at this
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely. Right? But there is a value there. You know, but what other challenges are you seeing, Chris, in not just necessarily in bridge, but in the industry as far as, is it shipping? Is it?
There's three key.
Because I wanted to let you talk here, but I just want you to really tell me about it, because we've talked about this before, but it is really a pain and a slowdown, and it's hurting the whole industry right now. And I want to kind of, what's the feedback you're getting from your customers, from the DOTs, from, give me a little bit of background on
well,
that.
Well, it goes straight to our title of a podcast, A Life in Construction.
Yeah, sure.
This is what we're living with.
So there's three key concerns that I'm hearing of. One is labor.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys can't field a complete set of teams. They just don't have enough employees, or when guys come out on the field, they show up for a few days. They say they don't like it, or they don't say they don't like it. They just don't show up anymore, right?
They tried it one time.
In fact, there was a job I was on in Utah around August, July timeframe, and they were even trying to rotate the responsibilities on the job site because they didn't want somebody jackhammering the entire time, because doing that for a week, they're never going to come back. So they basically rotate folks so that they're not doing the same physical operations all the time. That, you know, they're jackhammering now, they're under the structure, reaching up another time, and they didn't want to repeat the same exercise day after day.
Burnout.
Exactly, burnout. Yeah, they were trying to avoid burnout. So a lot of the contractors I talk to have that core group of folks that do that's been with the company for a long time, and what they've been trying to do is schedule that core group, or those main guys that have been with the company. They've had to be more efficient or effective or better planning in their schedule to keep these guys on the job site job after job after job, versus having the flexibility to have multiple crews. And so, okay, well, that's okay that this job didn't work today.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can hang around. Well, no, they're taking these guys, and as soon as they're available, they're off to the next job site and off to the next job site, but they're constantly working. So they have to be really tight with their planning. And so any interruption, and that gets to my points two or three, any interruption in that process really makes it tough on the contractors, because they only have limited crews to work with and limited time to do these jobs, right? So a lot of these are time-based, and these structures have to be open by a certain time.
Now, yeah, they do, right?
Yeah.
But the DOTs, they've got to understand these are huge issues, right? They're having them themselves, I'm sure, right? Are they still applying like liquidated damages, and are they giving them more time that you're seeing? Are they being a little bit more
with open-minded? The contractors? Yeah. Is that right?
So I think, for the most part, the rules are still the rules. So liquidated damages still apply.
Yeah.
That finish line does not move. Now there's a few exceptions that I've run into, and that's points two and three, which is number two is supply chain issues.
Yeah.
Materials just are not available. This is making it tough on everybody, contractors and DOTs alike. You know, everybody that's involved in the project is managing this. And there have been instances where the materials that are required to do a job are just not available. And so in those cases, the DOT is willing to allow for extended times account for that.
They have to, because, I mean, obviously all these companies have shortages. They have backlogs that they have to meet.
Yep.
And, yeah, the time is the time, but that's not reality.
Yeah. Right? And the materials for that job were specified for a reason. You can't there's not a lot of replacements for these products, right? They have tight tolerances for certain specs, and
very niche market at times.
Yeah. They can't go outside of that window, because it's going to affect the overall performance of the project, whatever it is. So those materials are needed for that project, and they're just not available.
Or it takes another 3 months to get them done. Well,
that's true.
Right.
That's true.
Yep. So then point three is?
So point three is the shipping industry.
Ooh.
This almost goes back to the first point, which is labor. So stuff is taking forever to ship. And when it ships, oftentimes it's damaged. It's not so much. So the truck drivers are out there, even though there's the shortage there, but it's at those those points in between where the stuff gets on.
The terminals.
The terminals. Yep. The terminals are having a real hard time processing the material that are going through there. I, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about, well, you know, the Port of Los Angeles, all these ports have ships just waiting. They've been sitting there for weeks and weeks and weeks waiting to be unloaded.
It's not affecting the construction life. It's it's affecting
everybody's life. That's right.
Our Christmas gifts, right? Yes. I mean, that's what the, you know, with the kids. Is Santa going to be able to deliver? So it's the same scenario that we're living in on the bridge side.
Yeah, a lot of Santas are giving cash this year.
I'm giving gift cards.
Nice.
It's easy.
And then they have to wait 6 months to go buy the material because it's not available.
But so back to the shipping. I mean, to a lot of times, because shipping is delaying things, it's becoming what do we do? Do we send these guys to another job site to work on a job site? Or is the material going to show up when it's supposed to show up? And oftentimes you don't know until it's too late to make that decision. And it's just, it's causing a lot of stress in the industry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't see any end of it.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Not anytime soon.
Right.
Hey, Chris, so what do you have, 11, 12 states now?
11 states, sir, yep.
So we got a lot of traveling to do, my brother, right?
We do.
Because we got to understand the needs of our customers. We got to understand the focus of what the industry is bringing and what we bring to the industry. The training part of it is huge. The educating part of it is huge. The learning part of it's really huge on both ends.
Sure.
And including the contractor, right? So really it's kind of a three-way circle, contractor, DOT, and material supplier. We got to get going. We're going to set this up. We're going to make this happen. Angela, are we going to rock this?
Let's do it. We started off good this first week. Last 2 days were great. Lots of fun. Learned a lot. So yeah,
the feedback was very, very positive.
So let's take that and spread the love.
We need to understand our customers better, right?
Always.
That's an educational process in itself, isn't it? Right?
That's it.
So there's going to be
you receive more than you give, John.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Yep.
Right.
Like it. Being positive.
So everybody, I want to thank you for your time today. Another great Life in Construction broadcast. This is John Manning, your host. Thank you and have a safe day.